Is it rolling?
Yep. All right, that's a good start.
And now, is that one moving?
Yes.
And a little red dot.
Yeah.
Welcome. It's okay. Put the weapons down. I say, yeah.
We're not all well organized.
No, that's true. Well, let's put it, some days are better than others.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're here for.
Right.
If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 8. Proverbs, chapter 8. And I want to read like the first 9 verses. Proverbs chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places by the way, in the places of the path. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. I'm just going to stop right there. The book of Proverbs. Well, the introduction to the book of Proverbs tells you a little bit about this. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment in equity. Verse 7 says, this chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Yeah.
But fools despise wisdom.
Yes.
And instruction. The book of Proverbs is a book about wisdom. To know wisdom, to receive the words of understanding, to give subtlety to the simple, to give knowledge and discretion to the young man. The world won't have it.
Right.
I guarantee it. Because wisdom, and I'm just going to say it right now, the way when Earl and I spoke about this years ago, he just said it plain out. He said, well, wisdom is Jesus Christ. And I just went, yeah. The world will not have it. But that's the purpose of this book. The world will not have him who is wisdom. He continues on. Well, let me go back to chapter 1 of Proverbs. I forgot I was going to do this. Verse 20. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called, and ye refused. What did Bruce talk about? Not willing.
Right.
They're not willing. They refuse. And they will refuse with a slight vehemence at times. And threats of violence and other things. Ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. No one will ever inconvenience God. Never, ever happens. There are those who think they can thwart the will of God. They're wrong. They're dead wrong, actually. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but guess what? They shall not find me. This is another chapter in that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. There's coming a time when people are going to be cut off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? For that, they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom.
Yeah.
Fools despise Christ.
Right.
And instruction. The despising of our Lord Jesus Christ has repercussions. It has results. And those results are not good. Do you know why men don't choose the fear of the Lord? They hate knowledge.
Right. Right.
They hate knowledge. John wrote about it. In the beginning of his gospel, men hate the light.
Right.
And men love darkness. It's the way we are naturally. Because I was that way. I had to be translated out of darkness into the light. And so does every child of God. Where it says, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my proof, therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way. It's verse Proverbs 1 and 31. And be filled of their own devices. I was listening to a recording this week, and it really kind of tickled me because I won't say who it was, but his initials were Jim McClarty. That's always good for a laugh. I don't know why. But he was talking about he was coming back from Middle Tennessee and from somewhere, and he drove past this place many, many times, but he had never stopped. But he had his camera with him. It's a Buddhist temple. And so he stopped and went under the covering, and he took his camera and he took pictures of this Buddhist statue they had. This was in the wintertime. And he was commenting on the fact that they have this statue and it's outside, and the monks or whoever works there or somebody had put scarves around Buddha's neck. So I did send him an email. I sent him that picture of that big golden one I took in Texas. And I said, see, this one's under glass. You don't even have to go inside or go around it. They have been left to their own devices. That big statue is a device. And for them, it represents something. We are told to stay away from idols. Thou art to have no idol before me, period. And if you want to chop it off a little ahead of that, thou art to have no idols. Now, I was born and raised Catholic, so this stuff kind of, with statues, gets to me. I understand it. They have got statues in the Vatican where the feet are wore off because people stop and kiss the feet and rub them and all this, and they touch it. But they don't say, they say they do not worship them. They say they venerate them. If it walks like a dog, it barks like a dog, and it acts like a dog, it's a dog. Now, if you bow and scrape and you kiss the feet of statues, I'm sorry, you're bordering on worship. I'm sorry. Because I don't do that to garden gnomes. I don't think they do either. I hope not. You do them just as good. If you want, and man does want, God will leave you to your own devices. Yeah. Unless you're one of His. Because He'll break that device if you're one of His. He may not break it physically, but He'll break it in you. But what I want to speak about is what wisdom says. We have it here in chapter 8. Verse 4 says, I call unto men. Wisdom calls. Wisdom calls to men. That's who the message of wisdom is for, is to. Wisdom doesn't need to talk to himself. And wisdom is spoken of in the book of Proverbs, all the places, as a person. As I said, Jesus Christ. Wisdom calls unto men. And what wisdom says is excellent things.
Right.
Excellent things. And right things. The whole understanding of wisdom is not possible to a man. But wisdom will tell you some excellent things and some right things. The description continues, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. I speak excellent things. Wisdom speaks right things, honorable things, and straight things. There is no dishonor and no crookedness. That's what the word right means there. Straight. Straight as an arrow. Wisdom does not swerve. Wisdom does not change. See, there's always been a problem with man's knowledge, but man won't admit it. Man's knowledge always changes. For centuries, they said, and these are the the wise of the world at that time that the sun went around the earth. They don't say that anymore. For centuries they said the earth was flat, Mason. They don't say that anymore. Man's knowledge changes. And then they get another little bit of knowledge. Guess what? That gets replaced. And that gets replaced. Because I can tell you this right now, you kids knew it. Guess what version of textbook was the last one you had? I remember showing up at college one day and I had the second edition of a math book. They said I had to have the third edition. I didn't think math changed. But wisdom is straight, right down the middle. There is no change. There's no change in the message of the Old Testament and the New Testament, right, other than the change of tense.
Right. There you go.
In the Old Testament, they said the Christ is coming.
Yes.
In the Gospels, they said the Christ is here. Still the same Christ. Both sides. The epistles say he was here. He's gone back to heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming again.
Yes.
And you'll find it in the Old Testament that he's coming again. The only change is the tense. The Christ is the same, Old Testament, Gospel,
Amen,
and New Testament. Wisdom does not swerve or turn. We're the ones that have to be turned. We're the ones that have to be turned. For my mouth shall speak truth. And I looked at this, Walter. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips, it says. And I wondered why he wrote it that way. My mouth shall speak truth. This is wisdom. Shall speak truth. And nothing but truth. Now, for me, when I think of this naturally, the opposite of truth is lies. We talk about liars here because they're everywhere. Now, I make fun of sometimes where I work, and actually I do sometimes, part of the time, enjoy my job. But I am surrounded by liars. But that's not only because it's a car dealership. Okay? It's not all the car salesman's fault. You are surrounded by liars every day. Every single one of you. We are all surrounded by liars. That man you met at Walmart, Mason, that was an exception to the rule. Where you met that fellow who knew the truth and spoke to you about it. That doesn't happen every day. It doesn't even come close. Surrounded by churches with blasphemy,
yeah,
on their signs. We're surrounded by free will Baptist churches who advertise their heresy on the sign above their building. And let this be true. God is true, and every man's a liar. And that includes me.
Yeah.
And that includes you.
That
includes everyone.
Yeah.
But wisdom, mouth, is full of truth.
Yeah.
Full of truth. But so that's what I see is the opposite. But here he says, wickedness is an abomination to my lips. And it just, why did it use that word? Because, lying is wickedness. If you're not speaking the truth, you're speaking wickedness. Wickedness. Now, some people, it used to be in the old westerns, if you called a man a liar, you got a fight. It worked that way in The Quiet Man. That's a word I take from no man. Because lying is wickedness. There is no wickedness, no lie, no half-truth in wisdom. And there is I just like the way Proverbs put this. Because here in the Proverbs, the opposite of the truth is wickedness. It doesn't matter what kind of lie it is, and it doesn't matter who's saying it. A lie is a lie. And lying on God is wickedness. Paul had problems with people like this. We're surrounded by them still to this day. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. This is 2 Corinthians 11 and 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. There are ministers who are not the ministers of Christ. That's plain.
Yeah.
Paul even said, beware of yourselves, because even from inside there can come grievous wolves that want to devour the sheep. Now, that's inside the assembly, not inside the church. This is a fact. Things have not gotten better since the days of Paul. There are some who preach another gospel, which is not another. It's perverseness. It's a lie. It's wickedness. There is only one gospel, just as there is only one Christ in this book. There is only one gospel. All else besides the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is wickedness. That's it. Paul said, what? Anathema. Let him be accursed. All the words of wisdom are righteousness. It doesn't say they're just righteous. The words of wisdom are righteousness. Wisdom speaks right things, and wisdom's words are righteousness. The words of wisdom are power, and they're right. Verse 8 continues on and says, there's nothing forward or perverse. There is only one message from wisdom. It is straight. It is truth. It is righteous. It is righteousness. But the one thing where I wanted to get to was this, verse 9. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. There's lots of speaking in the book of Proverbs about fools and simple and people who don't get it. But there are those who understand wisdom there are those who see that wisdom is right. There is an upside. The words of wisdom are plain to him. To him that understandeth. I call to men. And there are those who will understand. There are those who will understand and will believe Christ and the message of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is wisdom. And that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. I'm going to have some glory. You're going to have some glory. If you're in him, it's his glory. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The words of wisdom are all plain to him that understandeth. But the wisdom of God was not plain to the princes of this world. When Christ walked here on this planet himself and spoke them. Every word that Jesus Christ said was true. Every word that Jesus Christ said was righteousness. Was wise. But men wouldn't have it. And they still won't have it today. The princes of this world will not have it. Those that heard it from the lips of Christ himself would not have it. The wisdom of God is not plain to everyone. He is plain. His words are plain. But he's not plain to everyone. The wisdom of God is plain to those who understand. And right to them that find knowledge. Verse 5 gives us a clue here. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Now, I remember something in the Gospels about the heart being deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Something in Jeremiah, Paul wrote about it, Christ spoke about it. Oh, that's it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That goes for good things and bad things. It will reveal where your heart is. You speak to some people about Christ, the true Christ of the Scriptures. Mason, like I said, yours was the exception at Walmart. What I usually hear is, A, I don't believe the Bible. B, the Bible doesn't say that. C, I can't believe that. And that's actually closer to the truth than a lot of them. D, that can't be right. But to him that understandeth, these things are plain and right. We can say these things here. I could go somewhere else. I can't say these things. Well, I could. But it has been known to cause trouble. Well, where nothing is said, there is no division. Where something is said, there will be a division. When wisdom speaks the truth, there will be a division. It will make itself known. But in verse 5, where it says, "Ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart." The answer is in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. He that understandeth has a prepared heart. He that understandeth has a prepared heart from the Lord. Now, there are people who will agree with that part to an extent. You may want to put some qualifiers in there. But that second part of that verse is one of the ones that really struck me when I was first beginning in this. Because he didn't stop there. And the answer of the tongue. Your answer to God's call is from the Lord. If it's a good answer. Wisdom calls unto men, and some answer. Why? Because the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. We've said it here before. We'll say it again. I'll say it. The problem is with us. The problem's not with wisdom. The problem's not with the truth. The problem's not with the gospel. The problem's not with Christ. The problem's not with the Holy Spirit. The problem's with man. But he has his people. And he will prepare their hearts. And he will give the answer of the tongue. And they will be willing in the day of his power. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And God has made, well, of God are ye in Christ. And he of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God didn't make Christ wisdom. Christ is wisdom. It's like that thing, Walter, we talked about with love. That's exactly right. Well, here's what I think love is, and God's got to meet those expectations. No. Here's what God is. That's love. Here's where Christ is. That's wisdom. He's wisdom. And he has been made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Because we need him. The problem is with us. But he came and gave himself willingly. He sacrificed himself. He made himself our substitute. And he hath obtained eternal redemption for us. He is wisdom. Whether we know it or not, whether anyone knows it or not, he is wisdom. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place, but most of all, thankful for you, who sent your Son to live and to die and to be resurrected and to make him unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, and have given us the gifts of your Spirit, life and love and peace and faith and goodness and meekness. Everything we have, we owe to you. Every good thing we have is your blessing unto us. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.